Welcome to the Best of MBS podcast, a collection of the best interviews hosted by Michael Bungay Stanier, best-selling author of The Coaching Habit and How to Begin. Today's interview is from the Find Your Great Work interview series. Here's your host, MBS.
When I think about the icons of management theorists and leadership theorists, not many names come to mind, but a few do. Peter Block. People have heard me going on about Peter Block forever and what an influence his thinking is on mine. Peter Drucker, another huge influence on me. And the person who is in some way Peter Drucker's heir, certainly a champion for his work and thinking, is Frances Hesselbein. And I have the deep pleasure to be speaking with Frances from her office in the Frances Hesselbein Institute of Leadership. What sparked it was actually seeing one of my previous guests, Jason Womack. He's got a new book out called, I think, Get Momentum. But he and Frances know each other well. And Frances happens to have a new book out. It's called Peter Drucker's 5 Most Important Questions, Enduring Wisdom for Today's Leaders. So picked up the book. You can guess any book that has about 5 questions. Well, I'm pretty interested in that because my new book, The Coaching Habit, is about 7 key questions. But these are 5 wonderful questions. They remind me a little bit about the Roger Martin book, Playing to Win, and his 7 strategic questions. But I feel very honored to have had this conversation with Frances Hesselbein, and I think you're going to enjoy it very much as well. So, Frances, I am so thrilled to have you on this podcast. You truly are one of those great influences in the world of leadership, so thank you. And I would love to start with the question I start with all of my guests, which is, what is it that you've taken a stand against? What's the thing that's fueled the work you've done and the fight you've fought over the years?
Well, that's a fascinating question, Michael. Even my blood type is B positive. So I read, what are you taking a stand against? And all I could think of was all the things I've taken a stand for.
Love that.
And so I would say I really haven't focused or blocked off time to be against something. I guess what I do is I'm just for whatever it is, and in a very positive way. So that would be my response to that question.
It's a great question. And I remember reading one of the articles I read in preparation for this, and the final point was, it was the Strategy and Business article where you said, look, you and I do not retire. You and I are called to serve, and we will serve until the pine box lid is closed upon us, which is a wonderful quote.
Yeah.
How do you think of who you serve at the moment? Where's your focus now?
My focus is to serve and to live. And so I am very passionate about finding ways we can make a difference in people's lives.
Wonderful.
In the life of the community. Because to serve is to live is my battle cry, Michael. And so it makes today, every day is exciting. And every day is a gift.
Mm. I know that you've been one of the great champions for Peter Drucker's work, and the story of the two of you meeting is a wonderful story. I'm wondering if you could just share that quickly, how you came to meet this kind of icon of thought.
Oh, yeah. I was CEO of the Girl Scouts. I had every book Peter Drucker had ever written, every video, never expected to meet him, when I was invited to a dinner, 70 CEOs of nonprofits in New York City were invited to dinner by New York University to hear Peter Drucker speak. Well, I knew I was in a group of 70, I wouldn't meet him, but I would actually hear my great management hero. Now, if you grow up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, as I did, 5:30 is 5:30, so I arrived promptly. 5:30, I walk into the dining room. I am alone with 3 bartenders, even though they have not arrived. And I could sense someone behind me. I turned around, and this person says, I am Peter Drucker. Obviously, if you grew up in Vienna, 5:30 is 5:30. Richard Schott, I never expected to meet him that evening. And I blurted out, instead of saying, "How do you do?" I said, "Dr. Drucker, do you realize how fortunate you are to the Girl Scouts?" He said, "No, tell me." I said, "Well, if you go to any one of our 335 Girl Scout councils or my national headquarters, you'll find a shelf of your books, your videotapes. And if you look at our new management and leadership resources we've just developed, you'll see that your philosophy is flowing through it." And he said, "You are very daring. I would be afraid to do that. Tell me, does it work?" I said, "So superbly well that I have been trying to get up enough courage to call you and say, may I please have an hour of your time? May I come to Claremont? Have an hour of your time and lay out before you everything we have developed, all of our leadership management resources, and have you look at them and then talk to me about how do the Girl Scouts of the USA take the lead in our country and around the world?" Mm. He said, "But why should both of us travel? I will be in New York next month. I will give you a day of my time." For then, as long as I was with the Girl Scouts, he gave us 2 or 3 days of his time, spoke at all of our big conferences, and he told some of the great management magazines, journals, that the Girl Scouts were the best managed organization in the USA. And they said, "Oh, you mean nonprofits?" And he said, "No, I mean any." In fact, if tomorrow GE needed a new CEO, I would recommend Francis Hesselbein. He wasn't talking about me. Using that as an example, his battle was to make the corporate world accept the social sector, the nonprofit sector, as the equal partner of business and government.
Brilliant. So, Francis, one of the things that obviously you've done remarkably well with what was the Drucker Institute and is now the Francis Hesselbein Leadership Institute is actively seeking those partnerships between the profit world and the nonprofit world and military as well, so government.
Yes.
What lessons have you learned about what it takes to build strong partnerships? Because alliances like that are so, can be so delicate and can be close but not quite working. What would you point to as kind of wisdom gained from how to make strong partnerships, particularly kind of intersector, which can be even trickier?
Well, first we begin with mission. And when we find the missions of the 2 or 3 or whatever number of organizations, they are a very positive connection. The words may be different, but the direction is the same, and the purpose and the values and this vision of a bright future. It's a very positive. You just see it as all of us partners in building a bright future.
So what I love about where you're pointing to, of course, is that your recent book that you've co-authored with others is a revisiting of Peter Drucker's 5 questions, which are so foundational. The book is called Peter Drucker's 5 Most Important Questions, Enduring Wisdom for Today's Leaders. And the very first of those questions, which is, of course, why you answered it, which is, what is our mission? One of the things I've noticed when people set a mission is sometimes it can be extremely broad and slightly vague and a little hard to pin down. Sometimes it can be a little tactical and almost too limiting. Do you have any guidance about how to find that Goldilocks sweet spot? You know, it's not too vague, not too tactical, but somehow just right and just in the middle.
in the end, you have a mission statement, right?
Right.
Well, if we begin by telling ourselves, mission is solely why do we do what we do? Not how or what, solely why. And Peter always said, and your mission should fit on a t-shirt. So what are the five or seven words that say in a very passionate way, this is why we do what we do?
Yeah, I love it. So five or seven words that explain, get to the heart of the why of why we do that work. What experience have you got or guidance have you got around finding alignment? Because, you know, I've done that piece, you could call it editing with the committee. And sometimes what happens is it gets reduced to a lowest common denominator, which is neither inspiring nor engaging, but somehow nobody's too upset by it. Do you have any guidance around how to hold the flame to the conversation so that you get that mission that speaks to the why on a t-shirt, but in a way that is different and inspiring for people?
Well, you use it and in a congregation, not a plaque on the wall, a little wooden plaque that says to serve is to live or whatever you want to say. No, you keep it alive and you, in conversation, you can just say, well, of course, as our mission states or as our mission reminds us, and you make it part of the conversation, and you never forget why do we do what we do. You don't become so engrossed in the what we do, what we do, here we go. No, first, why do what do we do what we do? We're mission-focused. We're values-based. We're demographics-driven.
Nice. I have the feeling you've said that before, but I like the rhythm to it. It's very poetic.
500 times. And mission-focused, values-based, demographics-driven, or we manage for the mission, manage for innovation, we manage for diversity. And that's it. And when it's short, simple, powerful, it becomes part of you.
So I'd love to make the connection between what you're saying there and the very fourth question. So questions number two are, who are our customers? And question number three, what do our customers value? Question number four is, what are our results? You know, what do we care about?
Yes.
And I can see often that organizations can become very metric-led and measure 1,000 things, only some of which perhaps are driving the mission. How do you help people figure out what to measure so that people aren't crushed by metrics?
Well, if you really make those first three questions so much a part of who you are, what you do every day, then you, as Peter said, once he said there are three questions, and once I spent a lot of money making gorgeous posters, he structured three questions, and he said, oh, no, there are two more. Because first you say, what have been our results? And then because of that, you can say, and this is our plan, and I'm going to quote Peter, if you do all of the above and you do not end up with a plan, then I quote him, a good time was had by all, and that is all.
Right. So if insight doesn't lead to action, who cares?
Yes.
Beautiful. So part of what's wonderful about the work you do in championing Peter Drucker and, of course, bringing your own wisdom to the conversation is much of it feels evergreen. You know, it's foundational questions that really have resonated forever. I'm wondering, because I know part of the mission of the Institute is also to bring forth the best of the latest thinking and writing around leadership.
Right.
What do you get excited about when you see the current conversations around leadership? What sort of sparks your interest?
Well, I get excited because there is so much interest. You don't have to try to find people interested in thinking, talking, taking action about leadership. And so these days, when you think about mission, innovation, yes, and diversity, and you focus very sharply, you don't go 20 directions. Those are, and we're very passionate about the three. And yes, so we now see leaders who know that leadership has very little to do with power and everything to do with responsibility. And then we no longer have the little guy sitting on top of the pyramid, the leader.
Right.
No, we have dispersed leadership. Mm. And that really marks a great organization because you begin with this shared commitment to mission, the purpose, and then we have clear delegation of tasks and clear accountability for results. And so mission focused, values based, demographics driven. And Wonderful. So that would be my response.
That's a great response. So, Frances, I have truly enjoyed this conversation with you. It's been wonderful. For people who want to find out more about the Institute, where can people learn more? Where can they find about the Institute on the web, perhaps?
Well, it's HesselbeinInstitute.org. And we have a very big website, and we feed it all the time. We keep it organized. And also, if you go to Twitter, to serve it to live, you find
right.
a lot of stuff. And we keep feeding it. We take very seriously. And we have wonderful friends all over the world. And we never,
right.
for our global webinars, and we're going to do them quarterly now, they've been so successful. Never
Wonderful.
Charge anything. We want the poorest countries and the people, leaders who are hungry for the message, and we want them to be able to register. And there they are.
Right.
And we're going to do our webinars quarterly.
Wonderful.
You would love the messages we get from the poorest countries, some of the poorest leaders, and they are hungry for what we're talking about, then we have, I hope you know, our journal, Lead to
yes.
Leader. Now, think about this. There are 1,900 journals and magazines published every year in our own country. Our
wow.
Leaders to Leader journal has been number one for 8 years, it has received the Apex Award for Best Journal or Magazine.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
And we love it. And Leaders to Leader is on the web. Go to the website. You can read article after article. And
right.
we believe that we receive the Apex Award because of the people who write for us.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most incredible people.
Wonderful. So that's a range of results, resources for people, the website, the journal, and the Twitter feed as
yeah.
well. So people can drink their fill from the Hesselbein Institute.
And the website, we keep feeding it. And it's marvelous when we do a webinar. The other day I did a global webinar. It was for women. It was leaders of the future, women in action. And I get an
right.
email from six men in one of the poorest, smallest countries in Africa. Dear Lady Hesselbein, we are not women. We are men. We are leaders in our country, but we are hungry for that message. Please, even
mm-hmm.
though we are not ladies, may we please register?
Oh,
later, they
great.
Had my reply. Gentlemen, please know how welcome you are, and if you know other leaders who are men in Africa, tell them how welcome they are, and there is no charge, no fee.
Wonderful.
You see, what? You give it away because all over the world, there are these marvelous leaders hungry for it.
That's wonderful. Well, Francis, thank you for allowing us to play our very small role in spreading the word about the great work that you have done and you continue to do, and we'll stretch on into the future with the great resources that you offer. So thank you very much for being on the conversation
with
me today.
Well, thank you, and I hope we can do it again.
That sounds great. We really, I mean, I wanted to mention again for people the new book, Peter Drucker's Five Most Important Questions, which has Francis's comments on it, but also brings in writing from all sorts of other leaders sharing their perspective. Yeah. So it's really a succinct but extremely rich resource for people to think about those five essential questions.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this Best of MBS interview. Want more great content? Head to mbs.works. There you'll find MBS's new podcast, Two Pages. You can learn about his best-selling books, and you can join the newsletter. That's mbs.works.